Hello, welcome to Office Hours. I would like to do a preliminary statement before Office Hours begins in the form of a story. If you don't hear sound, I really don't know what's up. As long as like one person hears sound, it's nothing to do with me. I guess I can push buttons. Voice and video settings, here we go. No, like for streaming video, you can kind of choose the frame rate or whatever. But for just talking, you can't. Rhymes with all, yeah, okay. Here comes the story. I was scheduled to go on a sort of vacation. When I say vacation, it's more like a working vacation, right? Fruks is actually a really good person at the working vacation. They shouldn't be. Maybe they should take like an actual, but like wherever they go, they usually end up doing a bit of work. Anyway, that was my plan. And I was going to go over to Texas, and, I had a 20-hour layover on both sides because I tried to do cheap airlines and I basically screwed up, right? It meant that I had a hotel booked in my 20-hour layover on the way out and a hotel booked on my 20-hour layover on the way back. The 20-hour layover in the way there is in Vegas and the 20-hour layover on the way back was in Denver. So for the Denver leg, I got like a cheap airport hotel. But for the Vegas one, I was looking around and I'm like, this trip is like, right next to the airport. Like Las Vegas Strip is right next to the airport. Is there something we could do here? And a lot of the hotels are actually quite cheap. The reason is because in Vegas, they make their money based on what you spend inside the hotel, not on the hotel room. And so the cheapest hotel was actually what's called the Luxor. Now, the Luxor is a pyramid that has been in Vegas for years. It is like insane. Vegas is insane regardless, but this is particularly more insane than regular types of insane. There's literally a human constructed pyramid with a giant glowing light on it in the middle of Vegas, and you can stay inside. The inside of the pyramid looks a little bit like this. Where are we? And the elevators that you take to your rooms actually have to follow a 30-degree incline, which makes them technically not elevators. They are inclinators instead. And so I would have stayed inside the pyramid. I have found out since, I guess, not doing that particular vacation for the explanation that will come certainly soon, I found out that the Luxor is a little bit under disrepair. It's been neglected. Although I did see some photos that said that they might have renovated it since the last review. But if you look up, like, Luxor review, you might see, like, questionable reviews, which can happen sometimes to older hotels. However... the Las Vegas Sphere was an unfortunate occurrence for the Luxor, particularly because it's a hotel that's not doing so well. Because what they decided was like, well, people are advertising on the Las Vegas Sphere. Maybe we could advertise on the side of our giant pyramid. So I believe, currently, it looks like this. They put a giant picture of a Dorito and the word Doritos on the side of the Luxor. The way that they did that is by using a sort of like fabric, like a blanket or a mesh, etc. So if you happen to have a hotel room on the Doritos side of the pyramid, then you your view out of the Luxor hotel room is like occluded by that mesh. It's like looking through a screen door. But like the view usually is actually one of the nice things about that hotel. Particularly because the windows are kind of weird, because it, once again, it's on a slant. So I realize none of this is about the actual story, but this is a really old photo, and you'll see what I mean by like it looking dated, etc. Like that's actually ancient. I have no idea how old that photo is, but like I can just tell it's ancient. It feels so ancient. You can see there that the windows are slanted. This is actually more like it these days. Yeah, that's an old store guy. That's like the cuck grandpa. So part of this trip involves finding somewhere. Usually I send it to a friend. That friend has elected to move to California. I'm not mad at them. That's their choice. You know, it's not like I had an agreement or a business service agreement with them. So this was the first time where I was like, hey, Fed has probably got to go into commercial boarding. And I was actually looking forward to it because you can't rely on friends all the time. So it'd be great to have somewhere where, you know, Fed is comfortable, where I can put him in boarding just in case there's an emergency or you know, more friends aren't available at the particular time I'm traveling. So I'm like, I'll do it. Yeah. Dog boarding is like, it's just basically like a dog I don't want to use the words that the company does, because then I tell you the company name, and I don't want to tell you the company name because I don't want to be angry at the company, etc. But yeah, it's like a dog hotel. Now, when it comes to dog boarding, there are like basically three options. There are like what I call like more farmyard dog boarding. That's where your dog usually goes to like a ranch or something, and they stay in kennels that you might sort of know. If you think of like larger dogs or maybe sort of farmyard dogs, you know, it's like a cube with like a bed and a water bowl and a food bowl. And then they get walked, and then they just live in that cube for a little bit, right? That's like option one. And then option two is like commercial boarding, like a strip mall, basically, at a pet store. And that's somewhere in the middle. And then the end option is usually what I call like the sort of vacation for dogs dog boarding, which is where they go to like somewhere in magic, someone's house, someone's ranch or whatever, and instead of staying in kennels there, they basically stay in the person's house. My mother's dogs, they do that. Every time that my mother goes on vacation, her dogs go to this lady's house, and basically they live inside this lady's house, and my mother pays that lady for them. That's like the five-star dog. So I was aiming for the middle, commercial pet boarding. The first one doesn't sound nice, but it's like it's okay for larger dogs. Like they're not mistreated or anything; they're just bored, and that's it. And like dogs can be bored; they're more resilient. I turn around to see Fella literally choking on a piece of blanket. I don't know what's going on. I've just saved his life again. All right, we're fine. Like a string, like a loose thread, had come off, and then the loose thread had wrapped around his teeth, and he was just like, I don't know what's going on. That for him. Anyway, so. Because I'm trying to save money, I'm like, hey, I'll book the dog boarding for the day I leave. But it's like, it was, I don't know, like 4 or 5 hours before my flight. So plenty of time. I was going to drop off the dog, come back to my apartment, pick up my actual bags to travel, you know, go around, turn lights off, that sort of thing. And then my leave. So I book them in. I follow all the guidance. I read all the paperwork. I sign all the forms. And everything is basically like, yep, just drop them off at this time. And you'll be good to go. And I'm like, absolutely awesome. Who knows, hands up, who knows anything about like socializing a dog to a new stranger? Who knows anything? Rule one, you don't do it on a leash. You don't do it on a leash. You do not socialize new dogs to new people on leashes. The way that you should do it is you show both people into a room. Ideally, the owner and the dog first. They play in the room, and then in comes the new person. And then, you know, the new person engages in play and the owner engages in play with the new person. You know, you can, if it's culturally appropriate to, you can sort of hug or handshake the new person. And that sort of says like, hey, this new person's welcoming, you know, they're in our pack. They're part of the social order. They're okay. They're okay. What do you not do if you want a dog to have a calm boarding experience? You don't leave them on leash at the check-in desk of the boarding, where everyone else is, the rest of the store, including other pets who are not using the particular services. They're just sort of walking around the pet store. That would also work. But no, they wanted to say hello to Fella in the sort of the reception area of this dog boarding place. And it's one of the things Fella struggles with, is particularly there's like on-leash greetings, particularly in high-stress environments. Like if you'd given a room, private room, to like calm down and say hello to the person, he would have been absolutely fine. If they'd said on the paperwork, hey, come by the day before for like a half hour meeting where like the people who'll be looking after your dog will do like meet and greets or something like that, I'd have been absolutely sure. I assumed it was give the person the leash and walk away. It was not one of those places. And the reason behind that is because I had chosen the regular price boarding, not the private suite. They have like a couple of options. Turns out the regular boarding is like stacked kennels. They're nice, but they're still stacked, right? It's a smaller dog. And so to put the dog into the stacked kennels, these complete strangers who had just met Fella would have to pick up Fella. Now, Fella doesn't like strangers. He doesn't like being picked up particularly. He's okay with me doing it, but that's because it's me picked up. Doesn't like particularly like strangers, and he certainly doesn't like being forced. So he would not stop barking, which is like, it was fear barking, it wasn't aggressive bark. There's a difference. If you don't know the difference, just go listen to some dogs, you'll instantly know if the dog is fear barking or alert barking. And like, just think about it when you listen. And so they're like, well, can we feed him treats? I'm like, absolutely. And here's what I'm expecting, yeah, like half a bag of treats down, He loves them. If it's half a bag of treats, it's half a bag of treats. Absolutely love them after half a bag of treats. But no, he just gets worse. And then, like, to like throw salt in the wound, it's like, well, maybe my colleague will do a better job. And so suddenly it's like, oh, no, there's two strangers that are trying to introduce themselves to my scared dog. So the other stranger comes out and, like, she doesn't do anything that, like, any dog trainer I've ever spoken to has ever told me about meeting a new dog. She does it all wrong. And I think Feta, like, actually nipped her. I say nip, not bite, because, like, bite's got connotations for, like, you know, future words consequences. He, like, closed his mouth around her finger, realized it was her finger, and then let go. There was no mark, there was no blood, there was no injury. It's just like, oh, whoops, that was hand. But at that point, they were like, sorry, we will not be able to take your dog in pet boarding. And I'm like, okay. So we can't take your dog because we're not really that well trained. I was very clear to them. I was like, hey, I get it. You've got policies, you've got training. It's not you guys. I'm not angry at you guys. You've just blown up my vacation. So I'm going to go home. Have a nice day. Like, I wanted them to understand I wasn't bad at them. And so I went home and I lay on the couch for like 5 minutes and I was like, what can I do? I started Googling around and it was like, well, there are other commercial boarding opportunities. Let's take a look. Are they all like, I don't know, like a 30-minute car drive away and I don't have a car? And they have like, hey, we can refuse your dog too. So it's like, okay, me without a car, get 30 minutes across town just for the same thing to happen? Not likely. So I'm like, damn it, I'm going to have to just cancel the entire trip. So I had bought, specifically because I used Expedia for most of the booking. Expedia's like, do you want travel insurance? And I've been stung so many times on travel, and travel insurance was like $20 more, and I'm like, yeah, sure. So I put travel insurance on all of the various things I'd booked. And so I was like, well, at least I've got travel insurance. So I read through the entire policy front to back. I even gave the policy to an LLM. Shoot me in the face, I know, but like those policy documents was like 50 bomb pages. And I was like, hey, LLM, what do you think? Because it could read 50 pages in an instant. I was on a clock here, remember. My flight was due at 2, and it was like 10 at this time. And it was like, oh, yeah. Travel insurance doesn't cover a person or an individual, an entity that is not the traveling entity having issues, right? So I would have been able to get money back should Feta have been a service animal, and Feta been ill or part of the trip being a problem. That would have been fine, but Feta wasn't part of the trip. So it basically was just like unforeseen circumstances, other not covered under the insurance. And the LM spat out, well, you could ring them. And I'm like, so I could ring them and spend 2 hours on the phone for them to say no. I even considered lying, which, by the way, is insurance fraud, so don't do it. But I considered it. When I was submitting the claim, it was like, select the reason for your claim. And the options were like ridiculous. It was like illness. And I'm like, well, you could argue like that it's an illness problem, like mental health or whatever. So I click that and it's like, we need a doctor's note. And okay. So now to get money back, I have to lie to my doctor and lie to the airline and lie to the insurance company, thus committing insurance fraud. And I'm like, nah. I know that people do. Shame on you. That's insurance fraud. But I was just like, nah. So I just canceled everything. And there is some money coming back to me. But it's like, I don't know. It's like $300 of the like 1,000 I spent. So I lost like 700. And we came home. And I think I went to bed that day. And I just kept going back to bed. It was just like, I've been hit by a truck. Because, like, travel is stressful anyway, but, like, all of that travel anxiety just had nowhere to go. It was like you'd, opened a vacuum chamber all at once with no pressure valve. It was just like, boop, what? And I felt like that for the past couple of days. It's clearing now, but, like, Jesus Christ. Like, fuck, basically. So I tell a few people, and immediately they're all like, well, I would watch them. And it's like, where do you live? Oh, I live in Finland. I was like, okay, so I would have to pay for your plane ticket for you to fly from Finland to the United States to stay in my house and look after my dog. That's going to be more than if I sent him to one of these like ranch locations where he's looked after like he's a golden boy, you know? But I do appreciate all the offers. There is a couple of offers there that I actually might be able to use should I need to travel again. So thank you for all of those. And then obviously the parents tried to do, sorry, the parents tried to do their thing and, you know, offer solutions. And I was like, hey, you guys don't need solutions. Right now, I just want to lie on the couch with this dog because I might as well, like, have fun with this dog seeing as they cancel my vacation. They're currently barking because I'm not paying them attention. So that's always fun. Oh, I got a cold coming or something. Anyway, the short answer of that particular story is now in the wiki. And Feta has been dubbed a destroyer of vacations. So a bit like Game of Thrones, where when someone introduces them in a Game of Thrones event and they're just like, I am the hand of the king, I am a blah, 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 or I am Lord of the Seven Kingdoms. It's like, well, Feta, you are destroyer of vacations. And here is Feta when Feta is in destroyer of vacations mode. And with that story over, which sucks so fucking goddamn much, you little terror. I look at Feta right now and it's like, I'm never going to be like angry at him, but I am a little bit. It's an acute, like, hi Feta, I'm very angry at you. Let me pet you. Nuki says, next time I mean, you might handle this further in advance. I did handle it further in advance. At no point did the pet boarding place suggest, let's have a meet and greet. But now I know I need to look for boarding places that have meet and greets and do meet and greets. And I probably also need to up the training. However, I hit a wall in Feather's training, and I believe it's because we live in an apartment. Just imagine you've got like supersonic hearing. You can see via that photo how big Feather's ears are. And so you can hear not only the neighbors above and below you, but the neighbors to the left, to the right, probably like, you know, forward, backwards. He can hear. So I'm moving soon. I'll be moving to a house of some kind, resume Feta's training when there aren't scary people moving in the wall. So with that over, I'll go over to actual questions. So Freak says, if cheese was a country, which country would it be? Probably like Switzerland or something, you know, Swiss cheese. Zoink says, would you prefer Nintendo Switch or Xbox? I have Xbox, actually. I have an Xbox 360 and an Xbox One S developer kit. They are not plugged in. They're on my bookshelf. Yosh says, what's the dog doing? We just talked for 20 minutes about this little dog, so we'll skip that one. Stealing this from Tom Scott video, if you were cheese, what cheese would you be? There's this really gross cheese that no one eats because it looks really, really gross. I forget its name, but it looks really, 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 really gross. So I'd be that cheese because that would be like the ability to exist and not eat them. Hey, Feta, no, don't link me. No, don't link. Papadine says, will we be doing a cheese tier list? No, that is enough cheese to wear. Hecko, now that Neos is no more, would there still be issues with mentioning on the wiki? At least one creature wants to make a post-mortem info page about it, whereas until now, even the name seems to be obvious. I would still prefer you don't. I think I did remove the the word filter. Like, it used to be that you couldn't make a page if it contained the word Neos. I think I like relaxed that a little bit because it was getting some false positives. But like, there is the Neos Preservation Project. You could probably link to that from a wiki page. But link to it as Neos Preservation Project, not like Neos or whatever. All right. I think we're out of questions. Do we have one? Oh, someone asked for a tech tree update. We can do that. We'll do that in a minute. Revy says, you wouldn't happen to know what the Neos website turned into by chance? I know exactly what they're trying to do now. I don't really want to talk about it. So you can see the Neos thread where I'll analyze it a little bit. But my favorite interpretation was the deer dimension. So a while ago, if you went to neos.com, it would just randomly like give you this sort of like semi-transparently covered. So it kind of looked like airy and sort of like white because it was covered in like a semi-transparent white background. So it was like everything looked sort of like heaven. As pictures of deers. And someone was like, I don't know why, but I went to neos.com and I got sent to the deer dimension. And that's just like the way I like internalize that website now. It's like, yeah, neos.com is the deer dimension. Goldie says, why don't HTTP protofox nodes support headers? That would require collections. So what I'm going to do is I'm on the wiki right now. I won't show you this because I'll have to set up a screen share, but I'm on the wiki right now and I'm opening up web developer tools and I'm going to network and I'm just going to refresh the page. And I'm going to find the actual web request to the wiki that represents loading the actual page. And then I'm going to screenshot the headers that came back from the... Actually, we'll just do both. I just want to double check for tokens. Yeah, okay, I see a token. All right, so I'll blur that. I'll blur, like, other stuff that be censored. The rest is, like, user agent. Yeah, that's probably... But you can see there that those are all the headers that... my browser and the Wikimate to try and sort of negotiate loading that wiki page. And you'll notice that there are N, as in there are more than one, and the number is dynamic, so that's called N. So when you need N things in a web request, that's a collection of things. So that's why HTTP nodes do not have headers. You would need collections for that. Now, the common response that we do get to that when someone says like, oh, why not like CSV or something? And it's like, no, thank you. No, thank you. We don't want to create a DSL, name of that is domain specific language, for specifying web headers in a string when the end goal is collections and you'll be able to do it correctly anyway. I have had like some people say, like, why not the multi-node setup? And that's the one where like you spawn a plus node and you can keep on adding inputs. And then, yeah, that's exactly what Hecko's saying. And then Hecko's like, yeah, string parsing, collections, man, collections. Like every single way you handle it, it ends up being collections. It's like, what about a node that takes multiple inputs of strings and makes them into like the headers? And like, you mean a collection of strings? It's like, no. It's like, oh, what about a comma separated list? You mean a collection? Oh, look, Frixie says typing. We'll get some cool stuff. Brenner says, wait, it's all collections? Yeah, pretty much. Revy says, can I make a collection that contains itself? You probably should be able to. Frux says, it's essentially, oh, you don't need to wait for collections. Just use worse collections instead of implementing collections. In some cases, it's like, oh, yeah, you don't need collections for that. Just implement collections because like, they're all talking about the same thing. So it's fun. Like, we get it, but think about it like a big hole. Every single time we do like a worse collections or like a hack or like a workaround or like an adjustment, or we cave to some sort of like request, we're digging a little hole and we're putting poop in that hole. And at some point we have to go in that hole with our little boots on and we have to dig the poop out. And occasionally there'll be a case where people have got used to that hole containing poop and they don't want it removed. Like, no, when I hold my space bar down, it warms up my room. I need that feature. You can't remove it. At which point, we're standing next to a hole full of poo, and we can't clean it. Then we suffocate or die, or the Resonite slowly turns into sewers. And then like it doesn't feel good to use Resonite anymore, because you need deep in poo everywhere you walk. Want to build a model? Poop. Want to build a house? Poop. Want to build a gun? Poop. Want to import an avatar? Poop. This is going to be quoted somewhere, isn't it? Anyway, moving forwards, it has the potential. There are edge cases, and I do understand the frustration when you don't realize that something is poop and you ask us for it. Like, I get it. I understand. There are in some cases where we can sort of work around it, and that's one of the reasons why we ask in your GitHub issues that you be as problem-focused as possible, not solution-focused, because the problem that you have, HTTP headers for Protoflux, could be solved by another way, or has multiple ways of solving it. But if you make a GitHub request that asks for the poop node, then we're kind of stuck, right? You're like, I want the poop node. I'm like, no, there's tons of ways to solve it. Like something that we could do, for example, is let's say you wanted all of the web requests for a particular session to have a header. That's something we could maybe set up in the session configuration. I don't know why you'd want that, but that would be like, you know, maybe some sort of JSON configuration for the world in the headless or something like that. That might be an option, but like I wouldn't know why you would need that, but I'm just like thinking out loud. That's something we could do. We could say like, oh, all web requests in the session need this header. Yeah, sure. Like that's something we could do. And we like kind of do that already with the like allow list that we've got for domains. If you look at the update notes, Fruks recently added wiki.resonite.com to that allow list, right? That's sort of like one of those sort of like roundabout ways of, Nuki says, good way to optimize a bunch of slot duplications that are supposed to happen in one frame. There's no way to optimize that if you need them all to happen in one frame, because that means you need to do basically like a bunch of data model edits, of which slot duplications are quite intensive data model edits in one frame. There's like the only way to make that better would be to split it across multiple thingamabobbies. So like you could batch it across multiple thingamabobbies. But if you still want one frame, then one frame is one frame. You probably mean one update is one, not one. Revy's asking where the thread is. I'll endeavor to find you the Dear Dimension thread. I found it. I will provide you a link to the Dear Dimension. Grand says, you mentioned a thread that I posted about a custom component that I made that you wanted to make yourself. Are there any other components you'd want to make yourself? Also, do you want the code of the one you said that you wanted to make? Yeah, go ahead, release that as the MIT license. I probably won't copy it word for word, but like, hey, it's your code, so release it under what license you'd like. I'd be able to rewrite it without looking at your code. If your code's MIT licensed, I'll be able to look at it. If it's any other weird license, I'd probably just look at it. But yeah, it was really good. As for the, are there any other components you'd like to make? So you know that we have the GitHub where we ask all feature requests to be made. Well, I'll let you into a little secret. We have another list that Prime owns called Prime List. And Prime List is private and won't be shared because it's stuff that Prime writes down during conversation with other people. And it's less like, go make this happen or go implement this. It's like, Prime, double check that there's a GitHub issue for that. Prime, do research into that to make sure it doesn't need a GitHub issue. Prime, this is an idea you had whilst you're on the toilet at 3 a.m. staring at the ceiling. Maybe one day it might be something good to put into Resonate. And so the list is like really a name. One of the items on there is called Stuck Piss Lasers. I know exactly what that means, but before I work on that, I would need to coalesce my thoughts into something larger and more complex than stuck piss lasers. But I internally know what stuck piss lasers mean. If you can fix stuck piss lasers with just that, those three words, go right ahead. But I guarantee you can't. This is where Raid's typing. I bet you Raid knows about the piss laser. User by the name of Sox, S-O-X, is the, they coined the term piss laser. They are the reason why stuck piss lasers is on this. So Grand replies with, is this where your laser gets stuck when you're small or in a collider? I'm like, no, that's stuck lasers. For stuck piss lasers to occur, they must be yellow and stuck. Grand says, what even makes a laser piss yellow? Do you want to know the best thing? I have muscle memory on my controllers that will allow me to make my lasers piss, but I can't explain it to you. And that's why it's on that list and it's not a GitHub issue. Stuck piss lasers means, okay, go back into Resonite, remember how to turn on the piss lasers, remember how to get them stuck, and then write a GitHub issue about it, and then fix it. And that's why it's not on the GitHub, and that's why it's a private list. I'm going to go ahead and open the private list, and I'm going to give you a couple of other items, and you'll see why. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes sense to me. There's one here that says, why release all grab no user? I'll have to think about that one for a bit. One here that just says, glyph EM size 64. I think I actually did that one. I wouldn't be able to find the item, actually. Yeah, here we go again. Why release all grab no user? Another one here says, why time to complete not same for smooth and constant? One here says, rect B transform. That's what it says, rect B transform. It's rect transform with a B in the middle. Oh, here's a lovely another one. Null text color for text shit. Goldie Raccoonie says, how is life in the business obelisk? So our main business client, they're all on vacation for Easter, which apparently lasts a lot longer than like Easter should. So they've been away for quite a while and they're coming back. When they do come back, we have a firewall issue. So they need to resolve that. So business obelisk is on hold right now. Hence the vacation, but hence the canceled vacation. So I might do some like a couple of fun things this week just to kind of get back into the flow of things. I don't know. I haven't really decided. There are a couple more security updates I need to do. Like I updated Nextcloud, I updated Grafana, I added like 365 days to the metrics. I did like a bunch of like non-Resonite work just to keep things. Nuki says, met a couple of users came over from Rec Room. Any thoughts on the Rec Room situation? It's really like annoying because it seems like VR is dying, right? Horizons is shutting down, Rec Room is shutting down, Altspace shut down, etc. But like, it's almost like every single time one of those shuts down, VR chat and us get more powerful. It's like the death note or whatever. It's like, we get more powerful. Now, of course, it's sadder and it's problematic, right? Because it represents a sort of general unhealth of VR in the industry. But if they want to come try us out, great. If they don't want to come try us out, also great. One of the things that I would ask for any users who are dealing with people who are coming in, stealing with sounds problematic, but you know, one of the things I would like you to keep in mind when interacting with users that come from other platforms is please don't overwhelm them. And please, for the love of God, don't make your entire conversation about the differences between the two platforms. Remember your first day in VR chat? Did you like open an inspector or open Unity? No, you probably ran around as a Digimon making crazy noises or going up to random people and asking for them to show you the way. Do that. Don't make someone else's first ResNet experience opening up an inspector and unpacking Protoflux into them. That'll scare them off. Like, engage with them. Like, have a conversation. Talk about cheese. Ask them what their favorite tractor is. That's the conversation that will keep them in ResNet long enough to then appreciate the ability to open an inspector. And then in time, in their own time, they'll be able to open an inspector and start having. But yeah, we have ResNet community saying hello to new people can sometimes feel like smothering them with a blanket, whereas it should feel like a handshake and then like an awesome experience. Also, do keep in mind that not all users want to do development as well. As ResNet grows, we're going to have larger and larger sort of cohorts of users who just want to play, right? They just want to play. So we need more and more events, more and more sessions, more and more people who do not just immediately go like, boom, inspector, boom, protoflux, boom, tour. Nuka says, do you know why Rec Room had like 200 employees? I don't know their like leadership structure at all. I don't know what type of company there are or anything. CompUser says that there are people who join specifically because of inspectors and protoflux. Yes, there are. There are lots of people that do that. But do keep in mind that not everyone is doing that. So just like read the room or whatever and like figure out what's. Nuki says it wasn't just going bananas with VC money. Like I said, I don't know what type of company Rec Room is. I don't know who owns them. Is the company called Rec Room? So I don't know their corporate structure or anything like that. I'm going to have to dash. I will get the tech tree updated in the wiki after. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves, but I'm going to head off and do some stuff. Just realize we ran over.